Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading and sermon text from last Sunday and this Sunday are actually the same story. They are just told by two different people, or you might say with two different voices. Last week, we heard the story of Easter night as told by St. John. Today, we hear it from St. Luke. Last week, John gave us a framework that put the story into a larger context. Today, Luke adds more details and insights to that story, so that it feels like we're actually right in the middle of what is actually taking place. John's voice focuses on God's people receiving peace with a purpose. Luke's voice today adds peace with power to the equation. Speaking of these different voices, it is actually a good thing that you heard Pastor Hetzner last week, and that now this week, unfortunately, you're stuck with me and hearing my voice. This sets a healthy context for us in this week to focus upon the same story while hearing it in a different way. You will likely remember that John described the scene from the upper room on Easter night in this way in John chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now today we hear the new voice of Luke saying, in our reading today from chapter 24, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood amongst them, and he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a ghost. The first thing to note here is that Luke informs us that Jesus steps into a conversation that was taking place in the upper room. When we glance at the verses right before today's gospel reading, we see that the two disciples who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus had just arrived back to the upper room and were telling their story. In that conversation, we also discover that additionally appeared to Simon sometime earlier in the day. Now, the followers of Jesus in that upper room were trying to figure out how any of this was possible. They were trying to make sense of seeing their dead friend seemingly alive in such different places and contexts, when suddenly Jesus himself stood amongst them and he said to them, "Peace to you." They were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a ghost. To the disciples, there was only one explanation for what was happening. They were all seeing ghosts, scary illusions in the heightened state of emotional trauma. I must pause here and mention that if you think people today tend to get caught up in the mystical, you should have been around in Jesus' time. Superstitions, ghosts, paranormal activities. Practically everyone was both captivated by these thoughts and frightened death by them at the same time. Luke wants us to just sense how terrified the disciples were in that upper room. Well, last week, John immediately jumped to the end of the story, telling us that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Luke lets us know it was not nearly as simple or as easy as John makes it sound. Seeing that they are terrified by his appearing in their midst, Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Jesus wants them to know two things. First, that it really is him, and not some freakish ghost. And second, that rather than coming to scare them, he has come to empower them. Then he leads them through a four-step process to transform them from being terrified wimps into powerful and dynamic witnesses of the greatest event of all time, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. It goes something like this. First, Jesus speaks to them calming words that come with a request that they take a closer, less emotional look at him. Second, he suggests that they do more than just look at him. They should actually touch him and know that he is a real, living human being. Then to close the deal that he's not a ghost, Jesus asks for some food. I don't know about you, but I remember seeing Ghostbusters when I was younger, and we all remember Slimer trying to eat him. Okay, so that's where we prove that, eating, you're not a ghost, right? After all that, when they are finally ready to start listening, Jesus seizes the opportunity presented in this teachable moment. In all of this, our Lord is working toward his goal of giving them peace with power, or to hear the ending directly from the voice and the words of Luke, Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are a witness of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you." Now, what is this promise of the Father of which Jesus speaks? I think you all know. It's the powerful Holy Spirit. He who will come bringing such peace with power on Pentecost that the disciples will fling open the doors and start to tell the world what Jesus had opened their minds to understand during that teachable moment on Easter night. This excites Luke so much that he immediately jumps to the Ascension story, which is where the second volume, the book we now know of as the Acts of the Apostles, will pick up the narrative. However, we know that this peace with power did not come nearly so quickly or easily to those disciples in that upper room. Luke, in his narrative, jumps right over the 40 days that come between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. And then there's another 10 days, additional days before Pentecost, when these same followers of Jesus finally have enough peace with power to fling open those locked doors and tell their story. How long it took. It is important for us to recognize how this transformation came about. You see, it came about as they spent time with their resurrected Lord, as he opened the scriptures to them. Without these two ingredients, time with the resurrected Lord and time in his word, they would have remained terrified wimps and never would have become the dynamic witnesses Jesus had intended them to be. However, not only did God fill them with peace during those days, he also transformed them into dynamic witnesses through whom God calmed many other terrified hearts. This is the kind of power with peace that Jesus has been working in the hearts of people ever since the first Easter, and the work that he continues to do today in our midst. In fact, that is what our gathering here is all about. There are many, many terrifying things in this world today. Many things that, in fact, are much more terrifying than ghosts. And as I say this, I realize that one thing Jesus did not do, he did not take terrifying things out of the world. He didn't do this because it's not what he came to do. Rather, what he came to do is give peace with power to his people to live in the midst of it all. What are some things you find terrifying in our world today? What do you think about the news regarding the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that came out this week? What kind of emotions are stirred in the minds of those who have received it? Or how would you react to testing positive for COVID after you've been vaccinated, as both Pastor Rick and Pastor Mark are experiencing right now? Where does your mind go when you hear stories, whether true or fabricated, about covert government activities? How do you react to the sound of someone pounding on your door in the middle of the night? Or when you look up in your rearview mirror and you see flashing lights and realize they're pulling you over? Or how about when you go to pick your dog up from your dad's house and you pull in the driveway and see the house on fire? Your list of potentially terrifying things probably differs from mine. We all have our own personal sensitivities. Brothers and sisters, please notice what Jesus did on that first Easter, and then note that he still works with all of us the same way today. Rather than taking away the things that appear terrifying, he transforms the hearts of the people, giving them peace with power. So no matter what the devil or the world might throw at us, that peace and power remains ours. He stands in the midst, amidst our terrors, and says to us, "Peace to you. Why are you so troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Then he goes on to say, "Read the powerful promises I have made for you in Scripture. Touch me as I offer you my body and blood in communion." Then slowly, provided we don't pull away from him, the transformation takes place. His word and touch accomplish in us what they did to those first disciples many years ago. He transforms us from terrified wimps into living witnesses of the resurrection. Witnesses who will not be terrorized by anything that this world or Satan tries to throw at us. Oh yes, yes, we may become a bit unsettled, disturbed for a time. But as you spend that time with Jesus, that time spent with Jesus continues, as we listen to him while he is in our midst, speaking to us and showing himself, that peace grows and grows. And when it comes an indescribable power, fling the doors open and offer hope to a terrified world. No matter what the different voices in the world are saying, all of this simply because we have come to know one thing to be sure and true: Christ is risen. In his name, amen. And now may the peace and power that surpasses all human understanding be yours today and forever. Amen. I encourage you to take this time of